myself, I personally like the going fast.
Snow Machiners more than double the highway speed limit in the 42nd annual Alcan 200 road race. And we hear from Representative Thomas and Senator Kukesh as the legislative session begins. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news and more up next. On Tuesday night, the Hainesboro Assembly will hold a first public hearing on an ordinance that would make heli-ski GPS coordinates confidential. Borough code updated in recent years requires that commercial ski tour operators use global positioning system equipment to track and record helicopter routes and landings. Some assembly members have argued that the information should be public since the business occurs on public lands, but others argue that the information should be considered proprietary and protected like a trade secret. The assembly meets in their next regular meeting on Tuesday, January 24th at 6:30 p.m. in Haines Assembly Chambers in the Public Safety Building. The Alaska Legislature is in session. The second regular session started last week in Juneau and closes April 15th. Regional reporters checked in with the state representative and state senator that represent our communities. Representative Bill Thomas wants to slow the growing cost of state government, and he has the influence to try to do it. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld filed this report, one in a series, on Southeast lawmakers' priorities for this legislative session.
Bill Thomas co-chairs the House Finance Committee. There, he oversees drafting the legislature's operating budget. The Haines Republican says it's increasing about 7% a year, more than the state can afford. It can't stay level because of program guarantees and commitments already made. Thomas says he'll work with the governor and other lawmakers to reduce that growth.
Everybody has a need and a want, and we're sitting here. At what point do they finally realize that we can't continue to allow the budget to grow at this rate?
Thomas says he supports the governor's plan to reduce spending by eliminating 284 funded but unfilled state jobs. The Haines Republican doesn't write the capital budget, which funds public works projects around the state, but he has influence as a finance committee member. Thomas plans to push for a power line that could lower the price of electricity in one southeast village.
There's been a project that we've been pushing for years, and 2 years now it's been vetoed, for the intertie service to Cake. And I think we're going to try one more time and see. Maybe we have to go for less money and build it over a two-year period or something.
Other preferred projects include Angoon erosion repairs, statewide harbor improvements, and village energy projects. Thomas says he would consider adding funding for the first Alaska-class ferry if what's budgeted now is not enough. But he questions the need for a whole new design.
We've got some of the finest boats running around that's 50 years old. Seems to me if it's not broke, why fix it, you know, and these are working fine. I just don't get it, I guess.
Thomas has authored or backed several veterans assistance bills. He's also sponsoring a measure to help former service members apply military experience to some occupational licensing requirements.
Let's say that you're a captain in the Coast Guard and you come out and you want to be a Marine pilot or maybe a Marine highway captain. This will allow you to use some of your sea hours. If you have 6 years or so of duty, you come in and we can help you with waive some of that.
This is Thomas's final session representing more than two dozen small communities from Metlakatla to Skagway to Cordova. Reapportionment will drop some of those towns while adding Sitka to the district. He says that will mean an extra push for his current constituents' project.
Look at it now. We're going to be losing one rep, one senator, so we have to work together, and anything anybody puts in, hopefully we'll be able to protect and work with each other. And we're going to have to work with each other harder than we ever have before.
In addition to finance, Thomas serves on the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee.
Senator Albert Kukesh continues his focus on rural problems this legislative session. That includes a continued push for more rescue boats and improved village water systems. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld filed this report.
Albert Kukesh represents his hometown of Angoon and more than 100 other villages and small cities in Southeast, the Interior, and Prince William Sound. That's led him to push for health, safety, and infrastructure projects in rural Alaska. In Southeast, that's meant continued funding for village-based rescue boats. Several are already in place.
Well, the Angoon one recently was able to go out to the south end of Chatham and rescue a couple of people this summer. And those were brought on by the Coast Guard requesting us to do
to keep funding rescue boats through the capital budget. Kukesh also wants legislation creating a water and sewer task force to help rural parts of the state. Environmental Conservation Department figures show more than 6,000 homes without clean drinking water and safe sanitation.
It's really amazing to me, Ed, that in this time and place in Alaska that you have areas that don't have sewer systems and you don't have running water.
Most are in western Alaska, where Kukesh represents dozens of villages. One of the biggest issues before the legislature this session is Governor Sean Parnell's call to lower oil taxes. The House passed a measure last year, but Kukesh's chamber balked.
The Senate has a lot of concerns, and I share those concerns that we have to have a full story here before we can take some action. And you saw the outcry last year from people around the state saying, let's not give a whole bunch of money to the oil companies unless we absolutely have to.
The Angoon Democrat has several of his own bills before the legislature this year. He says one would put the state's child support practices into law.
Non-custodial parent support obligations based solely on his or her income without regard to what the other parent makes. This bill will change that to an income shares model, which calculates support as to the share of each parent's income estimated to have been allocated to the child if the original household were still intact.
This is the last session Kukesh will represent his district. Reapportionment took away his northern communities and shifted boundaries to include Sitka, Ketchikan, and Wrangell. That sets up an election battle with Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman. But Kukesh says that shouldn't change capital dynamics.
Senator Stedman and I have a great working relationship. If the redistricting plan is not changed at all, then I would have to run for that position against him. And I don't want to say anything negative about him. I have a lot of respect for him, and I hope that we have a good, clean campaign, and I'm not worried about it at all.
In addition to chairing the Transportation Committee, Kukesh serves on the Senate's Community and Regional Affairs Panel and its State Affairs Committee. This is Ed Schoenfeld.
Snow machine racers reached speeds of more than double the speed limit on Saturday in the annual Alcan 200 road race that crosses the frozen Chilkat Pass north of Haines.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1!
Jared Davey of Whitehorse raced his snow machine as fast as 142 miles per hour and straight into subarctic winds to hold on to his title. Overall winner of the Alcan 200 snow machine race. The repeat winner won his first Alcan last year after racing the event off and on since 1995. Averaging 119 miles an hour for close to an hour and a half, he broke his personal record this year and was within reach of breaking the all-time average speed record.
Conditions were way better. 19 miles an hour better, so, which is huge. Yeah.
Conditions, with blowing snow and extreme wind chill warnings on race day, were milder than the previous year, when only a fraction of registered racers actually lasted the entire 160-mile track. This year, 21 out of 28 signed-up riders finished the course, which is a round trip from the Canada-U.S. border, just north of Haines, to a lake in the Yukon, with two crossings of the 3,500-foot Haines Pass. Davey won on the same machine he raced last year, a 2008 Yamaha Apex.
And still a bad year. So that side I was on could have done, I would think, maybe another 5 miles an hour faster. Or
that
better.
That would break the overall record.
Easy. I think that sled's got a lot of potential, yeah.
He says he used to enter other sled races, but he's narrowed his competition down to only one race a year, the Alcan.
Oh, tradition and just myself, I personally like the going fast. You know, you can do whatever you want to do to the sled. Unlimited rules. It's pretty wide open, so that's appealing.
The Alcan's been a tradition for Alaskan and Canadian sportsmen for 42 years. One of the original founders of the race, Haines Leo Smith, stood watching the event from the finish line this year. Later that day, he shared the story of the first Alcan in 1970, and racers honored him at the awards banquet. Race day was Leo's 85th birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Originally, we were going to start where the race started today and go into downtown Whitehorse, which would have been 200 miles. as it so happened, at the time that we started the race, there was no snow from Kathleen Lake on to Whitehorse. So it didn't seem like it would be the thing to do to go that far. So we made about 10 loops around the lake at Kathleen Lake and turned around and came back home. But we still call it the Alcan 200.
You can listen to the full story of the Alcan 200's history at our website, khns.org, along with this story and photographs from the race. Second place overall in the 42nd annual Alcan 200 went to Fairbanks' Craig Hill, who holds the all-time average speed record of 121.4 miles per hour. Awards also went to the rider of the oldest sled, Mario Pullin of Whitehorse, on a 1980 Polaris. And a new award went to the fastest rookie racer in the Alcan, Jim Binkley of Fairbanks. 6 out of 8 new racers finished, 5 of them placing in their classes. Chris Brooks was the first Haynes resident in and 3rd overall. Full results for each division are available at alcan200.org under previous races. Race organizers, the Chilkat Snowburners, are considering changing the race classes this year. A set of proposed options is distributed among race participants for review. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS.
I don't normally like to talk as much as Doug does, but I'm going to give you a little bit of history about the Alcan. I see a lot of familiar faces here from the old days, but I see some new faces. I'd like just to give you a little history of the way the Alcan 200 started. Originally, we were going to start where the race started today and go into downtown Whitehorse, which would have been 200 miles. As it so happened, at the time that we started the race, there was no snow from Kathleen Lake on to Whitehorse. So it didn't seem like it would be the thing to do to go that far. So we made about 10 loops around the lake at Kathleen Lake and turned around and came back home. But we still call it the Alcan 200. Since that time, some of the people with the Canadian Department of Public Works didn't want us to use the highway at all. So anyway, we had one race that we still call it the 200. We ran up the Kelsall River and made a loop over them old dumb logger stumps and trees and whatever, and tried to get 200 miles out of it. Another year, we started the race at 10 Mile, which you all know where 10 Mile is, but there was a lot there at that time, and ran to the airport here in town and turned around and went back, I forget, 4 or 5 times or 10 times. However long it took to make 200 miles, I can't calculate that.
10 times.
And then another year, we also had to go across the 26-mile bridge and do the same thing, make about 10 loops or 20 loops around the track. But anyway, I guess what I was going to get at, some of you people from Whitehorse, when you go back, you should thank the Canadian DPW. We've got a new Colin Collette, isn't he?
Oh, God, no.
Anyway, whoever's in charge of the Canadian DPW that allows us to run this race, which I'm sure all of you agree is a pretty nice track to run on. They go to the trouble of closing the road for us and also do a little maintenance on it. Some of you guys from Whitehorse should go in and give them a thank you.
Yeah, right on. Yep. Very good.
And in the meantime, let's just give them a hand.
Yeah.
Thank you.